a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome back into another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. We were going to do this on Monday, but Jeremiah Jensen had the day off. I mean, how dare you, Jeremiah?
I apologize to everyone
Whatever.
Out there.
Whatever.
I'm so selfish.
And let me be honest. I went to the Jazz. I went to the Jazz game on Monday.
I think the Jazz took the day off on Monday too.
Well, at least they took most of the fourth quarter off.
Good point. Three quarters they played hard.
We'll just say that. They took a lot of the fourth quarter off. I didn't necessarily want to talk about the game, but I was trying to come up with someone I could talk to at the game, and it just wasn't. The two guys I wanted to talk to, it didn't work out. I wanted to pose some questions for the Jazz players. They didn't win, and I thought, I think this is going to have to be another day that I talk to him about this. So I just kind of bagged the Jazz Notes podcast up Monday and asked Jeremiah if he'd join me here.
I don't think anyone minded that, Cleon. It's probably a good call.
Well, what, me by myself? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, just not doing a podcast after that disaster on Monday.
Yeah, that was, oh, man. And the funny thing was, after that game, I know we've had a game since then, but after that game, all I kept thinking was, I actually tweeted out before the game. I said, this game feels like it's in the bag. I don't know how the Jazz are going to lose this game. It's just, Anthony Davis is not going to play in the fourth quarter. And what happens? He does play in the fourth quarter. Granted, it was just on the Jazz's last shot try that was a terrible play altogether. But the Jazz actually had a chance to, I thought they were actually going to come back in those last few minutes because they actually played defense. Hey, how about that? And they had some offense
going.
It was
a stunning loss. And when you look at the way things are unfolding in the West, and even that just that one game would make a huge difference right now.
So a week ago, a little over a week ago, Jeremiah and I were talking about, we weren't talking about it, but Jeremiah brought up, I want to talk about how far the Jazz are going to go in the playoffs. So it's been a week and a half later, and we kind of talked about it off of the podcast, so I kind of know where he was going with this, but I want him to present how he felt a week and a half ago and how you feel now, and has anything changed at all, Jeremiah?
Not really. I felt like four was the ceiling, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, they're only two back of three. It's just that the Rockets have almost as easy of a schedule as the Jazz. They got the guys back. And I feel like four is probably what the Jazz are going to be looking at as best case scenario.
Right.
Again, three is very possible. And with the Jazz schedule the way it is, they can catch fire and pull that off. And if you go into the numbers, so I'll bring that into the analytics into this, 538 projects that the Houston Rockets finish with a 52-30 record. And they project that the Jazz, Thunder, and Blazers finish with a 50-32 record.
That's bad news for the Jazz.
It would be.
When it comes to the Thunder.
Yes, yeah. So that would mean
they've lost the tiebreaker already on that one.
And I don't know this. And this would bring up an interesting scenario at the end of the year. I'm not sure how it works on three-way ties. Yeah, I don't know. And you caught me off guard here because I didn't do my homework before I came in here on the three-way tie.
Well, so the Jazz and Blazers we'll have to are look tied, too.
The Jazz would win a tiebreaker with the Blazers based on division record.
Okay.
If things play out the way we expect them to. It's crazy that somebody has a worse division record than the Jazz, but the Blazers do. But the Jazz would lose a tiebreaker with the Thunder, and I believe they would lose a tiebreaker with the Rockets, even though they split the season series. So the Jazz want to be tied with Portland if they're tied with anybody, but a three-way tie, I don't even know how that would work out. The Thunder are falling rapidly, and I thought that the Thunder were strong enough to be able to withhold. They have the toughest schedule remaining in the NBA. I thought they would be good enough, but I did not expect Paul George to get hurt. And since Paul George got hurt, they have not been good. They've struggled. And now all of a sudden, they were 6 games ahead of the Jazz, and now they're only 2 games ahead. So that has changed everything. So you say, in the week and a half since we talked about this, a lot has changed because the Thunder have taken a nosedive suddenly. And I believe they've lost 6 of their last 10 games. Who saw that coming?
Lost to the Timberwolves just on Tuesday. They beat the Grizzlies on Sunday, but they're playing the Blazers.
They barely won that game. They were trailing until the last minute.
It's Thursday right now. They're going to play the Trailblazers tonight in Portland. They're going to play the Clippers tomorrow night in Los Angeles. And then they get to come to Salt Lake City and play the
Jazz. That's a rough stretch. And all of a sudden, you can wake up on Tuesday and the Jazz are ahead of the Thunder in the standings. That's possible. So I don't think anyone thought that was possible a week ago. I don't think anyone projected Paul George would get hurt, the most crucial part of the Thunder season. But that's where we're at. And so you see how rapidly things can change. And I'm sitting here saying, I think the 4 is the ceiling because I think the Rockets are going to finish with a better record. But who knows what happens? And the Jazz have a schedule that's going to allow them to make a run. Can you imagine if the Jazz got 3? I mean, that would be huge for them. And we'd probably be looking at a 3-6 matchup with the Thunder.
Yeah.
But this time the Jazz would have home court. But Jazz having home court doesn't seem to matter. They just lost to the Pelicans on their home court on Monday. So I don't know. Maybe the Jazz are better without home court. They were last year.
So let's talk about, though, of those teams that they could eventually play. Let's just go. Well, I guess they could face either of these teams in the first round or second round. Mm-hmm. Which team scares you the most? I might actually still say the Thunder just because
really?
If Paul George is healthy, man, he is just playing phenomenal this year. He's playing MVP style basketball. And once he gets healthy, I'm assuming he's going to get healthy. He might as well, you know, I'm not going to say rest him now, but get him healthy now because you want him for a playoff push. You've got 2 stars right there that are better. Well, at least Paul George right now is better than anyone that Jazz have right now. You've got Steven Adams, who is fantastic at the pick and roll and can muscle Rudy Gobert around. I think that'd probably be the team that scares me the most right now.
Interesting.
Than any other of the teams that maybe we talk about. And unless you're talking about the Rockets, they would scare me too, just because you have James Harden on that team. Those would probably be the 2. I'm not saying that the Blazers don't scare me at all, but that'd probably be the most favorable matchup, I think, out of those 3 teams that we at least are talking about right now, of potential first-round matchups.
So the Jazz are 0-3 against the Thunder this year. Paul George is playing like an MVP. Russell Westbrook is still terrific. They're better without Carmelo than they were last year, so they're a better team this year. I still like the Jazz in a Thunder series.
Really?
Home or away.
Oh, I don't.
Let's look back on that game.
Okay,
that double overtime game. How many points did Paul George have to score in order for them to beat the Jazz in their building?
True.
The Jazz were impressive in that game, and there was moments where the Jazz actually didn't play well in that game, and they still had a chance to win that game. They were in control of that game. All the Jazz have to do like they did last year is win one on the road, and all of a sudden they flip everything and everything changes. The team out of those that I am most concerned about the Jazz facing in the playoffs is the Rockets. It is a bad matchup for the Jazz. Bad matchup. They have no answer for James Harden, and it's a tough matchup for Rudy Gobert. You remember what happened last year against the Rockets? Clint Capella is a tough matchup for Rudy Gobert. Clint Capella is now healthy. He's back in their lineup. And depending on where Chris Paul is at, he gives the Jazz problems. Ricky Rubio's not playing like the Ricky Rubio that was in last year's postseason and last year at the end of the season. So I don't like that matchup at all. And I think that the Rockets would give the Jazz the biggest problem. I think it's the most unlikely of the matchup because I think the Rockets are probably, if the Jazz don't finish 3, then the Rockets aren't going to drop all the way to 6. So I see that being the least likely matchup for the Jazz. but I see it as the most difficult matchup for the Jazz. I don't think the Jazz would win a series against the Rockets.
Yeah, no, I really can't argue with you on that. I don't know. There's just maybe it's just something about the Thunder and how they played, and maybe I have recency bias because I watched that game.
They're a different team this year than last year.
Now,
I'll give you that.
It will be interesting to see on Monday, come Monday night, when the Jazz play the Thunder again, mm-hmm. how this all shakes out. Maybe it gives the Jazz a little bit of momentum heading out, and, you know, after that, but that's really one of their toughest matchups the rest of the season right now. So if you don't think the Jazz are going to be jazzed up,
oh,
that was terrible.
Boo.
Yeah, we'll stop right there. If you don't think they're going to be ready to play the Thunder, maybe not to exact revenge, but just to give them
a huge game for the Jazz,
just to give them
reasons.
Some momentum. Yeah, yeah, I know there's
and the Jazz want to finish off that division tiebreaker if it came to it with Portland. So winning another division game, and the Jazz also play Minnesota as well, would help them stay ahead of Portland in that race.
If they end up in that 4-5 range, it'd be nice if they got the 4, because the past two seasons, the great thing is that the Jazz haven't had home court advantage, and they've still been able to play well and move on to the second round. Wouldn't it be nice to actually have home court advantage?
Do you know how long it's been since the Jazz have had home court advantage in a first-round playoff series?
Ooh, I don't know. Tell me.
2001.
Oh, my goodness.
Against the Dallas Mavericks, and they lost that series, remember? Dallas,
yeah,
Dirk
okay.
Nowitzki and the Mavericks came in and upset the Jazz, and that was kind of the end of the Jazz era with Stockton and Malone. From then on, they kind of struggled. That was it. That was the
first round you're talking about.
2000, first round,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
Obviously,
yeah.
Golden State in 2007,
yeah.
But they didn't have first round because they were. Think about that. It's been 18 years since the Utah Jazz had home court in a first round playoff series.
That's remarkable. It'd be great if they could at least get to number four. I just
you really want to get to number three because you want to avoid the Warriors until a conference championship.
I agree with you on that, but I'm not.
It may be too much to ask.
I can't. I kind of because you're going to end up playing Golden State in that second round. I mean, sorry, whoever's going to end up in the number eight seed, you're not going to survive Golden State. Is it getting a little stale though that the Jazz are only making it to the second round? I'm going to say no, just because. I see some improvement from guys. I mean, you can look and you see improvement from certain guys. You'd like to see them improve a little bit more. But I think if you're facing Golden State, you kind of throw your hands up and you're like, what do you do against this team right now? So I still would not be disappointed if the Jazz win their first round matchup and make it to Golden State. Because I think last week you were thinking, are the Jazz even going to make it out of the first round of the playoffs? But I would say
it's still going to be a battle either way. No matter who they're facing at this point, it's going to be a battle. Even if it's a 3-6 with the Thunder or a 4-5 with the Blazers or Rockets, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a brutal series. The West is so good, and those teams are excellent. All those teams are good enough to make the Western Conference Finals. Which one will? That's what is going to be really interesting to watch. Even if you're not a Jazz fan, if you're just an NBA fan, you want to see all those series and all those battles, because they're going to be it's going to be brutal.
I think I heard that right now, I can't remember if it was 538 or someone else, said that they do not they think that the Warriors will only lose one game in the entire Western Conference playoffs right now, which is unbelievable to me. I think if the Rockets actually made it back, I don't think they beat the Warriors, but I think they can win at least two games over the Warriors. They've had success against them during the season. I know regular season.
That's
season's
a great
different
podcast topic. Which team in the West would give the Warriors their best challenge? I think it's the Utah Jazz.
I can understand that. I just still
the Jazz have played the Warriors tough for the last 2 years. Think about this year's matchups.
I get it. Okay.
The Jazz should have won all three games.
I get it. I totally get it. I remember that first game. It was way back, second game of the season. Fantastic game. The Warriors were excited that they won that game. And the other one that's sticking in my head, I know the Jazz won here, but the one that's sticking in my head is that one right before the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say this, but the Jazz were playing great, and they hit the fourth quarter, and all I kept thinking is, I know the Warriors are going to make the run, and I'm pretty sure they're going to win this game, too. Give the Jazz credit, but I just don't think they have enough firepower to beat the Warriors.
Jazz had
right
a
now.
Nice lead on the road against the Warriors in a game the Warriors actually showed up and played as hard as they could for. I was impressed.
I understand.
I like the Jazz versus the Warriors better than I like the Jazz versus the Rockets. I know that sounds crazy.
I don't know. I guess the part I'm not convinced about is you're going to get – if they left their starting lineup in the Warriors, I would give the Jazz a chance. If you had DeMarcus Cousins against Rudy Gobert, I think that would be interesting. It's too bad we haven't seen that one yet. I think that would be interesting. But I think when they go small – I just am not sure the Jazz are going to be able to line up with them.
Oh, nobody but in the NBA can.
But I would not go away from Rudy Gobert right now. I'd say I don't think you take him off the floor just to see if you can match him up. Speaking of that, wild scenarios from Scott Mitchell the past few nights on Unrivaled. I got to bring this up.
Okay.
I'll bring up Rudy Gobert first. He's basically they were talking about Austin Facer's column on KSLSports.com, by the way, thanks a lot, Austin, in which he said, hey, Kyrie really should sign with the Jazz. And so Scott was saying, you know what? The Jazz should trade Rudy Gobert for Kyrie Irving. I don't want to focus on the Kyrie portion of it yet. I'm just thinking about trading Rudy Gobert. Listen, I totally understand where he's coming from when it comes to Derek Favors has been playing well the past few games. I like Derek Favors. Derek Favors needs to be a starting center somewhere. But I don't think it's at the expense of Rudy Gobert, and I think it's crazy to trade Rudy Gobert right now. Maybe I'm just being conservative in this whole entire topic, but I think Rudy Gobert is one of your top... He's like 1A or 1B on this team, of best players on this team. You don't trade him away unless you're getting an all-star in return. And I think it would be foolish to do that. So that's
I agree with you.
Okay. I just don't. Maybe he feels. I think in some ways, I don't think he likes his toughness. I'm not here to rail on Scott at all.
Yeah, I'd like to have that debate with Scott.
But I just don't think that you take him out. He is too valuable. If at the very minimum, he is too valuable on the defensive end to give up on him now, and too valuable as a lob threat. I know Derek Favors is too, and it's going to be really hard because I don't think the Jazz let Derek Favors go anywhere this offseason. I think Derek Favors is too valuable as a backup right now to Rudy Gobert that I don't think he goes anywhere right now. So I'm just surprised that Scott would even go that way. I know that Rudy sometimes has those moments where he's maybe what people would say not tough enough, but
I don't know about that. I disagree with that.
And again, maybe I'm projecting a little bit with Scott right now. Maybe he's frustrated with Rudy. But I just think that would be a huge mistake to trade him away.
Yeah, I agree with you. Rudy's the cornerstone of the franchise. He provides something that so very few players in the NBA provide. He also has intangibles that very few people at that position have in the NBA. There's like a handful, maybe a handful of guys in the league I would even consider trading him for. And, I mean, like we're talking like Kevin Durant or, you know, guys that actually aren't even available via trade. So, I don't even think that's an option. There's not enough value out there to do that or even consider that right now. And Rudy's in his prime. He's happy to be here. He's an anchor on this team. What the Jazz need to do is find somebody to complement Rudy and Donovan. And that could be a stretch for like Tobias Harris. We brought that up over and over again. I think, unfortunately, the Jazz probably missed out on him because the Sixers made a trade for him and they brought him in early. It's kind of like the Paul George situation with Oklahoma City. I don't know if the Jazz are going to be able to beat the Sixers on Tobias Harris in the offseason. I think they're going to try to make a play. I think the Jazz like Tobias Harris. He has some defensive shortcomings, but he provides everything they need. They need that kind of guy. Well, obviously, that's not the topic we're really trying to dig into right now, but my point being, you're not going to trade Rudy. He's part of your core. You're trying to find that third guy. Now, was Kyrie your question is Kyrie Irving that guy? No.
I would say no, too.
You already have Donovan Mitchell. You don't need Kyrie Irving. You need somebody like Tobias Harris. You need somebody that can knock down threes, that can defend on the wing. I mean, Paul George would be a dream. Like, that's my point. So you need somebody like that. And you're not going to get Paul George, but maybe there's somebody in the secondary market that can fulfill that role. That's what you're looking for. Maybe it's via trade. I have no idea. But that's what the Jazz need to take it to the next level. Don't trade your stars that you have right now. Add to them.
I think on top of that, too, your two main stars right now, and Donovan Rudy, actually want to be here. They like being here.
Yes.
Why would you trade that away for someone, and let's say it was a guy like Kyrie, for someone who thought that he wanted to go to a team to be the guy in Boston, and now seems like right now that he's kind of stepping that back a little bit. The second thing that Scott brought up, and you can talk what you can. We've already talked about Ricky Rubio here on this podcast. He said that Ricky needs to be benched, that the Jazz are better with Donovan Mitchell leading the team. I think that's the way they go going forward, but I think it's a mistake if they bench Ricky Rubio right now for many reasons. I want to hear your
benching or reducing minutes.
I think
benching's too far. You need Ricky. You need what he provides. Can you finish games without him? Yes, you can. You can finish games with a Donovan Royce, Joe Ingles.
And you've seen that at times this year, too.
Crowder, Gobert. Or if you want to finish with Favors, the way he's playing right now. We haven't even touched on Derek Favors. I mean, they're calling him the Incredible Hulk now. He's been that good in the last five games.
He has.
He's averaging 21.5 points and 9.8 rebounds per game. That's pretty good over a five-game stretch. But no, don't bench Ricky. But maybe you have to toy with how you use his minutes and who finishes the game. Perhaps with his lack of three-point shooting and some of those other things that maybe the turnover-prone issue that's been going on, maybe you look at that. And, you know, he's probably not going to play tonight on Friday night against the Grizzlies. I like that lineup that they're taking out there when Ricky's not available. I like seeing Donovan. He's getting better at that. So I think the Jazz are comfortable with that. But don't bench him. But if you have to reduce his minutes or put somebody else in at the end of the game, you do that.
I think you lose him if you bench him not start him. I think you lose him completely.
Perhaps.
Not talking about in the offseason. I'm talking about mentally. You okay. lose him if you bench him.
I think
him.
You still start him.
Yeah, I agree.
But you don't finish games with him.
Depends. I think it depends on what team and what kind of lot.
We'll see how he's playing. You have to kind of go and see how he's playing. But I understand why Scott would bring that up, or maybe some fans would bring that up. I think benching is way too extreme. But, he's not giving you everything you need from that position. Let's be honest. And the Jazz, I mean, and Quinn's got to find a way to figure that out. And that's a challenge they face as they go into the stretch. You want Ricky to play like the Ricky last year did. Perhaps he can find that, but he hasn't found it yet, which is a little concerning.
Real quickly, I will just say, again, he's one of the few guys on this team. I know you can look to Joe Ingles. He's been initiating the offense a lot, and his play with Derek Favors is tremendous right now. What I will add upon that, though, is Ricky is just one of the few guys you actually have on this team that creates offense for other players on this team.
Great point.
That is also very valuable. Are you going to miss LeBron not making the playoffs? I know it's not official yet, but...
Actually, yes, I will. You want the best players in the league to be there, and it's going to be weird not having them there.
I agree.
It's been a long time.
I'm not, I hate
the Lakers, so, I mean, I want to watch the Lakers burn. And he made a bad choice going there, in my opinion, for basketball reasons. If he wants to go there and do Hollywood thing, that's great, but we will miss LeBron in the playoffs. Rest in peace, Lakers.
All right, that's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. Thanks for downloading, subscribing, listening to us. Thanks to Jeremiah Jensen. He's got to bolt out of here. And I'm just going to say, again, thanks for listening. Make sure you join us again next week. Jazz playing the Thunder next week. That game is tremendous. Can't wait for it. We'll have recaps of that game on KSLSports.com and plenty of other places. And hopefully we'll have some other good content for you right here on the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll talk to you soon.